Hey, yo, you listening to the Cool Nerd Podcast with my daddy, Kev the Cool Nerd.
I'll fuck your bitch, then do her taxes. Cool Nerds Podcast, and this is the most special episode to date.
Indeed.
First and foremost, I am Kev the Cool Nerd. Y'all know who I am. I got my guy with me, Big O, from the 614.
Columbus, Ohio.
And we got a special guest today, guys. Special guest. Mickey from the Bronx.
Smicky.
Mickey.
What's going on, fellas?
Mickey Facts.
What's going on, y'all? First of all, you know, shout out to Atlanta. Shout out to my guy that's in Columbus, Ohio. Because, you know, they got super chefs. And we on the Cool Nerds Podcast. I don't know if my man from Atlanta been a super chefs yet.
Nah, he hasn't. I gotta get him here because he gotta do Super Chefs and my brother, he actually just opened up a restaurant called Stadium, sports themed restaurant, and that he leveled up with that one.
Nice. But,
man, look, talking about Super Chefs while he over there chefing it up, the big old come on, man.
Chefing it up, baby. That's what we do.
So Mickey, all right.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna do this first. This week, you released your new record, right?
Yes, sir.
A minus. When I tell you that that is, I'm just gonna say this. People listening, your favorite rapper can't do that. Your favorite rapper can't do that. I mean,
off the bat,
my guy Mickey released a record titled A minus.
Yes, sir.
And didn't use one word that started with the letter A.
Yes, sir.
So I that's what I gotta ask you, Mick. Like an idea like that, where does that come from? That's just a random night in the studio? Did you plan that?
Like, are you just that bored with the words where you were just like, you know what? I've been doing this for some time. Let me go ahead and challenge myself.
That's a good one, brother. My man from Columbus, Ohio with a hilarious tape. honestly, there's two reasons for it. The first reason, well, the main reason is my son. We were on a Zoom conference call, and he this is for you, bud. And he was pressing the letter A over and over and over and over again. So I wrote a kid song for him at first. You know what I'm saying? And the kid song was fire. So when I sang it to him, he stopped crying and all that. Then I was like, you know what? I need to write something like that for hip hop. So I started writing it. And then I was like, you know what? Lupe had showed me this book. The book is called A Void. And in the book, there's no letter E in the whole entire book. But the book is about where did the letter E go? Like, where did this letter E go? So when I was writing a song about the letter, I was like, you know what? Let me incorporate this into this song. And let me see if I could do it. 4 hours later, it was done.
Four hours. I don't think people really understand the complexity in doing that. I'm going to say this, and I think I've said this before. Like, So Kendrick won the Pulitzer, what, 2-3 years ago for Damn?
Something like that.
Yes.
But they don't give, I guess because it's hip hop, maybe it's because it's us, they really don't give hip hop artists or even real MCs such as yourself, Mickey.
Yes.
Literary respect that they deserve. I feel that way because there should be more MCs that have Pulitzers the way that they write. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to know what the process was and why Damn received a Pulitzer. Mm. I don't know if the requirements or the procedure to understand why that got a Pulitzer. I would expect To Pimp a Butterfly to get one over Damn, because To Pimp a Butterfly to me is probably one of the, you know, greatest hip hop albums of all time.
It definitely had more social commentary than Damn did.
It really did.
So, you know,
I really enjoyed that album.
Right. So I'm interested to know how that album got it over To Pimp a Butterfly. But that's neither here nor there. You know, do I feel A-minus should get a Pulitzer? Absolutely. I mean, I think it should. Nobody's ever done anything like this before.
Never.
Break down a song. Well, it's basically a lipograph or a lipogram, pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
A lipogram is when you do, and this is the Cool Nerd podcast, so we can talk about stuff like this.
All day long.
But a lipogram is basically a painting that doesn't have a specific subject matter. So I did the same thing, but I did it in lyric format. Interesting thing about it is I did a lipogram without using a lipogram. Like it's like a paradox. You know, so it's like, you know, I have a professor, Dr. James Peterson. We're working on a syllabus based around this song and how impactful. And he calls it one of the smartest hip hop records to ever exist.
No, but you're right.
People really don't listen that way. That's the thing. It's like, because we live in a microwave society, mm-hmm. that's going to go over a lot of people's heads.
Facts.
But once you sit down and really take back the layers, it's like, oh. And yeah, I just feel like it really needs, I know I'm going to be talking about this song at least for the next month, because I just feel like people need to hear it. And sometimes you gotta damn near hold a gun to somebody's head to be like, hey man, you gotta hear this. Did you listen yet? Did you listen?
Yes.
You listen yet?
Yes. So,
you know what I'm saying? And it's one of those songs where I gotta get everybody, hey, did you listen yet?
No, it's legit. It's rap caviar. Shout out to the playlist on Spotify, but that's what it is. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I don't even want to say it's an acquired taste, but it's lyricism at the highest level. And I don't know that anybody, I don't think anybody in 2020 has done this yet.
No.
If we go back a few years back, maybe. But that's why I said it in the beginning, your favorite rapper could never.
No.
You know
the
what
closest
I mean?
The closest that we have is Papoose. Shout out to Papoose. Alphabetical Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
He did it forwards and backwards. Saigon, he did a song about all the, I think he did a record which is all P's or something like that.
Mm.
And then I think you know, him and Coogee Rap, they did a record called MF, and it's all MFs. But this is the first of its kind in terms of the song is actually about a letter.
Right.
And the history of the letter.
And you don't use the letter.
And the fact that you started off A.
And you can still tell people, no, there's no A's in here. This is the phonetic spelling of the sound that you're hearing.
That alone was crazy.
It's nuts.
I think what's even more mind-bending about it is there's a remix.
I saw you posted that on Twitter. I damn near went nuts. First off, let me say this. I'm going to be honest with you real quick, Mick, because I'm a fan and I followed you. And my next question for you is going to kind of show that a little bit, right? Because you kind of threw a layup. But We met, me, you and I met at Mask On 2 RBE's event that just happened, right? That's where we met. Yes, you were gracious enough to grant me an interview, and I can't thank you enough for doing this as well. But when you said that to me, you said, I dropped a record about the letter A and didn't use the letter A. I said to myself, wait a second. I think I know about every Mickey Fax song. What is he talking about? But I, at the time, I didn't want to say, hey, Mick, what are you talking about? I had to play the game. I'm like, oh yeah, cool. You know, but this is what you were talking about. And trust me, I was locked in the moment that it dropped. That was crazy. So I'm gonna do this right now. Everybody go out there, stream A-. It's on every platform right now. A- by Mickey Fax.
Thank you. Your
favorite rapper could never.
Man, if you're not listening to it, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Disservice.
Right. I agree.
A disservice. So I said you segued me, right? Because you brought up Saigon. So my next question, it doesn't really include Saigon. Saigon was on one of these covers, but I want to ask you about your freshman cover, sir. That's how long I've been a fan.
Oh, man.
That is how long I've been a fan. I remember I remember your freshman cover. I can name just about everybody that was on it. But because I was going to meet with you today, I went ahead and refreshed myself. That cover is operating at about 50% right now. It was 10 of y'all on there. It's only 5 of y'all that's really active.
Right.
So how do you feel about talk to me about that, and how do you feel about that class, your freshman class, based on the XXL cover? It was you, there was Wale, me and my guy, we talked about Charles Hamilton. We need to put out an APB out on him. He was on the cover.
Corey Guns.
Corey Guns was on that cover. Kid Cudi was on that cover. Ace Hood was on that cover. B.O.B., Asher Roth, Blue. I think we got everybody. Who are we missing? That's everybody.
That's everybody, I think.
Yeah. And out of those people we named, you got you that's still active, because you've been active year over year since then.
Yes.
I don't think you took any years off. Wale. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
B.O.B. just dropped a project.
Mm-hmm.
Blue
dropped something about 2 months ago.
Blue dropped something recently. And so who's the fifth one? Now I'm at 4. That's less than 50%. Hold on. I think
Currency.
There you go. There you go. Currency's very active. I think people slept on that Fetty project he did with Freddie Gibbs, by the way. But
did we mention Kid Cudi?
Cudi is active. So it's 6. Y'all over 50% now. 60%. You're operating at 60%.
It was a good draft class. I was excited around that time when I seen the cover, because I pretty much was a fan of everybody on there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that cover was monumental.
Facts.
You know, that cover kind of ushered in the wave of internet sensations.
Mm.
We were the beginning of that. All of us had built everything off of the internet.
Yep.
And we had massive fan bases because of it. So, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, I was able to be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there were two people that couldn't make the shoot. Well, actually, there was one person that couldn't make the shoot. And I was campaigning. I actually was campaigning for Drake to make the shoot.
Okay, I was getting ready to – I was going to ask that question, because he was arguably, at least that year, he was definitely the number one draft pick that year. That I got introduced to him that year. So, yeah.
He released – Ransom in like November of 2008 with Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it wasn't enough for them to put him on the cover for 2009.
Wow. But before that cover came out, Mick, didn't before that cover came out, the mixtape came out.
The mixtape came out on Valentine's Day, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait, right. Which mixtape?
We're talking about
So Far Gone.
So Far Gone. There you go.
Yeah, I was hip to Jake, like, witness my growth. That a room was proven.
I was on the and I told Mick this. I told Mick this on. Oh man, what was the comeback season? On comeback season, he's got a record with Mickey, and my guy from gym class, Travis from Gym Class Heroes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was hip then. You know what I'm saying?
And he had a joint with Lil Brother on there too.
And Elzai.
And Elzai.
But that didn't come out until February, Valentine's Day of 2009. We had shot the cover, like, I want to say December.
Okay.
That's what
or January.
I got it. So but the cover didn't come out until after, though. I know it came out after. I remember that.
At least the cover came out in March.
Right. Okay. All right.
So
okay.
Yeah, my mind works like that. So J Electronica was supposed to be on the cover.
That makes sense too.
He was on tour with Mos Def, so he wasn't able to make the shoot. But initially, it was supposed to be J Electronica on the cover. Yep.
That makes sense.
And instead of when he couldn't make it, they replaced him with Ace Hood.
Him with Ace Hood. I give it to Ace Hood. Ace Hood makes some good records. He made some good records.
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't
and does.
Still, you know. I don't know. I'm not gonna do him like that. He's got some of my favorite records, you know what I mean? But when you look at the rest of the cover, to me.
Speak your preference, Kev. It's okay.
No, Ace Hood got some records that I really, really like. He made he got some mixtapes that I really, really fuck with too. You know what I'm saying? But when you got Ace Hood on that cover with Mickey, with Wale, with Charles Hamilton, with even Asher Roth, B.O.B., artistic MC.
We need an APB out on Charles Hamilton.
An APB on Charles Hamilton.
Where in the world is Charles Hamilton?
I don't know, man.
Lord.
What I will say about Ace Hood, though, in his defense, at the time, he was the only one on the cover who had a radio record.
Right, right.
He was the only one on the cover.
That was a very underground, I guess maybe that's what I mean. That was a very underground cover, and Ace Hood was out the gate mainstream because he had the DJ Khaled backing. You know what I'm saying? That cover, all of those artists were really very underground. Wale still only had mixtapes. Mixtape About Nothing is another. And Mickey, I told you this, one of the greatest mixtapes I've ever listened to was a piece of art, is Mickey Mouse. You know what I'm saying? Another one of those is the Mixtape About Nothing. And that's all I knew. I really wish, I know he did Album About Nothing, but Wale, I need you to drop that again. Like, I think I probably got it somewhere, but the Mixtape About Nothing is a classic for me in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? So,
you know, it's funny because the Mickey Mouse mixtape is one of those things. Like I was saying earlier, my homeboy had down there put a gun in my head. Like, you gotta hear this,
bro. Listen, listen, man.
And I was so happy he did that. I was like, oh,
shout out to him.
Yeah, facts.
Bro, I was all over it. And like, people don't make, and that was a mixtape, but it should have been an album. I don't know if it was intended to be in that, but it's a piece of art. It legit is a piece of art. The way he goes through it, you know what I'm saying? Referencing Basquiat, referencing
Before it was cool to do.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? He drummed up a character and went through a story throughout the listen, Mickey Mouse, the question mark man, he could have been a real graffiti artist. You know what I'm saying? Like,
literally.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So, man, listen, that project was great. And yeah, man, I hate that DNA tried to use it against you.
Yeah, but it was how he tried to do it. It was dumb and foolish. But anybody who's smart knows that, though.
Right.
A lot of the culture isn't smart. So
I like that because you just served up another segue.
I did that. I did that. That was intentional.
That was awesome. And And but you know, so at Cool Nerd, we definitely believe in giving flowers while you're here. Mm-hmm. And Mickey is from an artistry standpoint, like you've got to have like one of the greatest minds in hip hop. The way you just put words together, bro. Like
I appreciate that.
Like it's just like fire off the rip. I want to kind of flip it and go. Let's go from music. Let's go into battle rap. What is it that you think upsets battle rappers when mainstream rappers tend to come back to the sport or want to participate in the sport?
I think it's a pardon me, you haven't done anything for us on this side. You haven't allowed us to make money on this side. You haven't put us on tours. You haven't put us on records over here. You haven't put in any good words for us over here. So why are you coming over here to where we established and built this from nothing and try to infiltrate and make obscene amounts of money? And you don't do this on a consistent basis or on a regular basis. You're basically trying to insult our intelligence by saying that you can do it and that you would be good at doing it, but you're unproven and you're insulting me because this is what I do on a consistent basis. That is the mindset that I think that guys have. And it's warranted. Bless you. I agree with them 100%. I think, you know, there has to be, I don't want to say a trial run for guys, but I think there should be an easier streamline for guys to return into that art form because it's different from what we do creating music.
That's fact.
It's very emotion driven, cerebral. And it takes a toll on you when you're trying, because you know you have to be perfect.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You got to be perfect.
Yeah. And I've seen you guys. I've heard
Mick.
Right. I've heard you guys break it down to a science. I heard you do this past weekend. I've seen Chess talk about it. Like, all right. So an industry artist, when you're making records, right? Mm-hmm. All you got to worry about is that 8 bar, 12 bar, 16 bar verse, 8 bar hook, so on. At most, you're giving them 16 on a traditional radio record.
Right.
3-minute round is 60 bars.
Yes.
A battle rapper has to give you 3 of those.
Yes.
All right. 180 bars.
Yes.
And you have industry rappers that don't do that on a regular basis. Like 180 bars, I'm not even gonna do that math, but
that's a 9-minute song.
Yeah, 9-minute song. It's a 9-minute song.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
No hook.
So and if it's a 9-minute song, then that's essentially it's three songs.
Right.
I mean, it could be 3.5. In this era, or you could even probably stretch it to 6 because you got some niggas that's giving you 90-minute records. I mean, 90-second records. You know what I'm saying? So Yes. That's another thing about the level of lyricism that goes into battle rap. I honestly feel like, I agree with Mick. I also understand there's a level of artistry, but it's almost like the battle rappers should be mad because not all of y'all can do what I do. You can't write 60 bars.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so, my bad. Oh, let me ask him this real quick. But so, Mick, because in my opinion, you're the best that has done that, made that crossover, if that's what we want to call it, right?
Right.
So how do you feel about these niggas trying to lump you into this? No disrespect, but I'm just being honest. How do you feel about them trying to lump you into this 40 Cal and Jag category? And Cassidy, for that matter.
I mean, I'm with it because they're in the industry. And so am I. Like, I make I make all my money off of music.
Okay.
Which is the industry of music.
So,
you know, I now, if you want to talk about content and skill set, that's a different conversation.
Right.
But in terms of just like guys coming back, like, you know, like it's like I came back three times. You know
what I'm saying? We have that argument, right? When you have that argument of who's the best industry battle rapper, I haven't heard one person bring your name up.
I know.
That's a problem.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy?
That's a problem to me.
I think, you know, what I think is, this is my thought process. I think I'm so good at it that they don't want to say that I came back, and they don't want to say that I'm in the show.
That's what I was gonna say right there, because it's like, yeah, you can try and lump Mick up with the industry, with the J Mills and them cats if you want to, but I guarantee you ain't gonna write for him like you would for one of those other industry people, because then you'll be basically tying your own body back.
He don't slouch, but you got a fine-tuned DNA. Oh, DNA got all the way up to battle you.
he didn't take any matches before me.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote eight to nine rounds. You know, according to Rain and Shine, he was scared all the way going up to the night of.
Yep.
So, you know, for me, and this is, he's a legend to me. So yeah. You know, it's like it's a difference. And for me, it's just levels. Like, it's just certain things that,
for sure,
you know, they, I don't know, man. I can't call it. Like, the only thing that separates me from a Mills or Cassidy, you know, they were on hit records. So like their feet, they charted. Their name was charting on Billboard for things.
Right.
That's the only difference between myself and them.
Well,
everything else I've done.
I'm a fan, Mick. I'm a fan. You got some hit records too. It's just your name ain't in the forefront of it.
In terms of Billboard, like, and obviously, like I've ghostwritten a lot of stuff.
Right.
And you know, one is something that I've written this year charted. So, you know, for me, it's one of those things where it's like people just don't want to give me that. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. And that's fine. You know what I'm saying? Actually, it's not fine. It's actually
disrespectful. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. It's not fine.
It's very disrespectful.
Thank you. It's very disrespectful.
Mostly because like I've had hit records. I mean, excuse me, I've written hit records. I've worked with Billboard Award, Grammy Award nominated winning artists. I've had record deals, I've had commercials, I'm in movies. You know, I do all of this stuff. My list of accolades, I can be here for the whole interview. But it, to me, it's not about that. It's about respecting the culture. And one thing about me that you can check the files for, you've never seen any of my music in front of any YouTube clip or any battle or nothing like that. You've never seen any of that. You've never seen me just doing crazy stuff with clout or anything like that. Like, I give my opinion and people, you know, they might take it away, but it's never something that's just outrageous. I only requested to go against guys that are top notch. I'm not taking small league battles and not showing up and not being prepared. I'm not doing nothing disrespectful to the culture, and I don't overcharge the people the leagues. I never do. You ask anybody, they tell you I do good business. I never ask for a flight. I never ask for a hotel room. I take $500 up front. Like, people just don't never understand, like, the type of business that I do. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it is what it is.
Man.
You know, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Facts. Ooh. Pun intended.
Man. Man.
Pun intended. Oh, man.
I can't wait for people to tune in, because they gotta hear this. They gotta hear this, man.
Facts.
It's important. It's so important, man.
Okay.
Cause, like, because it's not a battle rap is not a humble sport.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
Even though it's a lot of people that need to be humble.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. So we'll stay right here, right? And we'll talk about it. So you deserve your respect. Therefore, you deserve an opponent that is of that caliber. You've said it on more than one platform. You said it on the Cool Nerds platform. It's up on YouTube right now. Y'all can go see it. He also, I saw you say it on Hip Hop Is Real.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey says he's retiring. And he, listen, this look, listen to verbiage, okay? He says he's retiring and he's granting. This is a favor for you.
That's tough. All this stuff.
Granting his final battle to B-Dot.
Whew.
Talk about that, Mick. You're granting, like, you know. So it's a privilege for Dot to stand in front of you. Whew. That's how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I don't want that verbiage. I don't want him to feel disrespected by that.
No.
The only reason why I said it like that was because... But the only reason why it's worded like that is because he came out and said, I'm his dream match.
Mm.
So that's something that he wishes he could have. Overlux. So if that's what you wish for, then I will grant you that wish because I don't want to... Mm. I only came into this to be on every major platform within America.
Right.
And I've accomplished that with the exception of RBE. So knowing that and knowing that, you know, we've had discussions, me and ARP about a couple of people, but it didn't really make sense in terms of storyline and epicness and just grand, right? Like, so JC was a conversation, but he doesn't book him anymore. And then, you know, once JC was at the top of my list and he was like, I'm not booking him ever again. So I said, okay, cool. So then it was like, okay, then it's between Dot and Lux. So for me, Lux is my man. I've known Lux for over like 17 years or whatever. So I was like, you know, I'll do it. It'll be more of a sparring thing. But I think once Dot came out and said what he said, I was like, let's go with Dot. Let's do the Dot situation. And, you know, it should be fun. You know, I think it's going to be fun. You know, there's a level of respect there in terms of fear for both of us. Mm-hmm. We both know what we can do. Mm. There's a mutual respect in terms of lyricism and in terms of musicality. And then obviously, you know, the sport is the sport. So we have to, you know, we have to go head to head and we have to have conversations with each other about certain things. You know what I mean?
No, I'm with you on that. So, and Dot, we even said this in our original conversation, Mick, that Dot is in the running for champion of the year. So
yes,
I think
absolutely.
He definitely knows where his pin is. He's at that level. He's at that level, like, my opinion. Yes. So the match makes sense. The match makes sense. It's mutual respect on both sides. It really does. He's having a great year, in my opinion.
Amazing year.
He's having an amazing year. Me and O had the conversation last week about champion of the year. Dot was my early running winner, in my opinion. I think, Mick, I think I got you saying Chilla. However, Holmesy has made a very good case for himself. How do you feel about Holmesy saying that he's got to be considered for champion of the year?
I agree.
Enough said. 100%.
Yeah, Holmesy's definitely being overlooked. He's being overlooked for whatever reason. But
I think he got Dot next.
Oh. Well,
he got Dot next.
That's crazy. That's going to be crazy.
That's going to be a conversation I'm ready to hear. Big, that is a conversation I will be ready to hear.
Look, I know we're going to have B-Dot on the show soon. I got Holmesy 2-1.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow. Just okay. Like that.
That's what he said. He that's said. What
I said. I'm sorry, but I said what I said. I got. I'm going. Holmesy is a buzzsaw right now. I don't think nobody should stand in front of him. Just let him die down a little bit. Let him calm down.
Wow.
Okay.
I like Holmesy. I want that to be very clear. But the level of competition that he faced is nowhere near B-Dot.
Not even Danny?
No, not even Danny.
Well, B-Dot battled Saga. Holmesy convincingly beat Saga. And B-Dot and Saga had a great back and forth. But Holmesy won convincingly.
Holmesy didn't face the Saga that faced B-Dot. That was a completely different Saga.
Yeah, I get where you're going with that, Mick. And, you know, that's a thing in battle rap everybody uses. Like, if B-Dot stands in front of Mickey, the 30 Daylight, he doesn't have a chance.
No, he has a chance. He has a chance.
He wouldn't have a chance. But the thing is, we're going to see a different Mick. So yeah, I just wanted to touch on that because it's like it's almost the same excuse that we give Charlie Clips all the time. If he prepares, you know, there's a saying in sports, like you play who's in front of you. And that goes for, you know, they say, oh, the Warriors won because Kyrie and Love got hurt. And, you know, oh, Toronto won because Clay and KD, you play who's in front of you. Things happen. If Saga didn't prepare, that's on Saga. That's the thing. We're supposed to be professionals, so you got to come to play. If you don't, you get zipped up.
I agree.
Same with B. If B-Dot comes and battles you unprepared, Mick, we are not going to give any excuses to that man in the recap, and vice versa. We never do.
Right.
We try to stay as unbiased as possible because we love the culture. And that, we put the culture first and foremost always. But
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
I just feel like Holmesy's on a killing streak. But this is where we make it fun because I made that prediction because we have a line here that's will this age well?
Will this age well?
So it may come off as knee jerk, but it's just something that we do, You know, I admit when I'm wrong. I'm not like, you know, Jay Black and them that, you know, try to fight to make them or try to, you know, bring up some type of narrative to make themselves right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's what it is at the end of the day. But right as of right this very moment, I would say Holmesy 2-1.
That is a bold statement. And, you know, I mean, shout out to Holmesy again. Like I said, I think he shut everybody up.
Facts.
And usually that's what tournaments do. Tournaments, whoever you pick to win a tournament because of their skill set usually never wins the tournament.
Never.
So, you know, it's the element of surprise. However, with all that being said, if there's no tournament and it's Holmesy versus B-Dot, like, come on. Like, you know, and as again, it's no knock to him. I believe he's going to put pressure on Dot. I do. But Dot does a lot more, man. He does a lot more in the time allotted to him than what Holmesy does. Mm. And in my opinion, from a standpoint of angles, I don't know. Now that I think about it, this could be close, man. But I can't go against Dot, man. Like I think Dot is gonna pull it off 2-1. But if Holmesy won, I wouldn't be surprised.
I know why you feel that way, though, because we look at you, Mick, you are a pin. And yes. you respect pins. And so it's hard for you to go against a fellow pin. I totally understand that. And I'm only speaking from a fan aspect, because I'm not in the gym with B-Dot writing and things like that. And you know a little more than I do as far as that goes. You know, just from a fan of the culture, like when you see somebody on a hot streak, it's like, I don't know if you want to stand in front of that guy. I mean, like, just like, I don't even know if you had talked to him at the time, but I know a lot of people had told Hoffa, don't stand in front of Calico. Don't do it. And he took that battle anyway.
Yeah, but Hoffa and B-Dot have a completely different temperament, man. Like,
yeah,
Hoffa is very volatile. B-Dot is very focused. He's very linear. And he understands what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a want for and a need for these accolades. He wants this respect. He wants this attention from his peers and from the culture. This is something that he's been saying for years. And I think he's on the verge of finally achieving this.
Yeah.
This year. You know, I think he has two more before it's all said and done for this year. You know, I know both matches, and it's interesting because, you know, if he wins these next two, he's definitely champion of the year.
Oh, for sure. Hands down.
But you know, I don't know. I got Dot beating Holmesy 2-1.
And see, I would go. So my initial score would go B-Dot 2-1. However, wow. This is my however. This is what I like to call a coin flip battle. What I saw from Holmesy in the tournament was the fact that every opponent he faced, he was able to outmatch their energy. If B-Dot goes first, that is going to be a problem to me. Like, he's going to spit. He's going to get his shit off. But if Holmesy has the opportunity to go after Dot, I don't know. I don't know.
Wow. I agree with you as far as the coin flip.
This is incredible.
I did want to ask you this question because I'll tell you my answer as well, Mickey. Do you feel that the pandemic and having to battle in these small rooms with no crowd are making MCs better?
Oh, he said that already.
Hey, I answered this on Champion. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And speaking of that, right? I mean, it's B-Dot. He gave it the term. The pandemic. You know? It's the pandemic. I'm here for it. The people that have been able to put together carefully crafted rounds specifically for their opponent, they've been the victors.
I miss the crowds, though. I'm sorry. I missed the reactions, man. Like, I mean, I don't miss the gas per se, but I do miss the crowd. I mean, they play a big part of the culture. I mean,
you know, technically all crowds are gas.
Okay, you got me.
So you missed the gas. You missed the gas. You know what I'm saying? Like, all crowds are gas. It doesn't matter what's happening. You know what I'm saying? They're going to react because they're fans. So they have to react. Back in the days, there wasn't really no reactions like that. And, you know, unless, you know, he was a Dot Mob member. Shout out to Dot Mob. But back then, it was just everybody was quiet.
You know? I mean, Dot Mob brought the gas station with them, though. They did.
Yeah. And every battle Mook had, with the exception of the Lux battle. You know, he you know, but the guys were able to rhyme.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. People, I don't know what's going on anymore. But what I will say is pandemic is good for the fans. I think we were able to see who's really good at what they do and who isn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't lean on crowd participation. You can't lean on, you know, reactions. You can't lean on that grace period to recover. You gotta just go.
You just gotta go. You gotta go.
That's it.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready? So,
yes, sir.
We done with the battle rap. All right, we back. We back. We done with the battle rap. We about to get into this cool nerd shit. Now, me personally,
we done with battle rap. You sure?
I mean, we might not be, but you know,
who's Mick's top five battle rappers?
Ooh,
I ain't got a top five, man. I ain't got one.
I got you. You know what? No, we might not be done with the battle rap. This I want to do this real quick, Mick. All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm glad to see
Kings versus Queens.
Okay. Let's talk about it real quick.
Seven battles. Look, we don't even have to break them down. Seven battles. I just want to know your score of the seven battles.
I got Surf winning.
Okay.
I got DNA winning.
Mm-hmm.
I got Nitty winning.
Mm-hmm.
I got Swamp winning.
Okay.
I got Clips winning.
Mm-hmm. That's where we differ.
I got Official winning.
Ooh. Wow. Hard.
I got Official winning.
Ooh.
And who else? I think I'm missing one more.
You are missing one.
E-Hart and K-Shawn.
E-Hart and Shawn, yep.
I got Shawn winning. That's 6-1.
So we got the same score. We just got a different battle because me and O both got Clips losing. And I coined a phrase, okay, that any man could probably relate to, but a woman scorned is undefeated. A black woman scorned never loses.
Oh, they used to date?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got Clips losing. I got Clips losing as well. 5-2.
Yeah, unless there was some personals that's not allowed in the contract or something, I don't see Clips getting out of this one alive.
Mm-mm.
Yep. I got a 5-2. I got a Fishy winning and I got Shorty winning.
Okay. All right.
So you think the Official can overcome the disrespect?
Absolutely.
Whew.
Absolutely.
Man.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Man. Arsenal, I got Arsenal and Official being very similar to A-Verb versus Bonnie Godiva.
I would have rather seen A-Verb against Official.
That after what he did to Bonnie, I don't think anybody's putting him in front of another view. I don't know. A-Verb think different.
Verb was campaigning for one on Twitter, man. I know he wanted parts of the Queen of the Ring.
He wanted my verse.
Oh, the A. That would have been nice.
No, but
that would have been nice. He would have hurt my verse though.
Yeah.
I'm alluding more so to all his content. His content would have been crazy.
Yes.
Crazy. He would have got her out of here. That's my score, 5-2.
5-2, okay. I'm stick with the 6-1, but I'm not mad at the 5-2. Official can get down, but.
You can get down. I ain't seen Arse in a minute.
This is his first it's not his first caffeine battle. This is going to be his first official caffeine battle, though. He battled on Genesis, and no one counts that.
No, so. T-Top wore him out, but, you know.
Sure did.
First round was good. First round was great. Very, very disrespectful. But T-Top bounced back from that in a major way.
Yeah. So, all right, cool nerd shit. Mickey, you said you're playing Ghost of Tsushima?
Well, you know, the new downloadable joint
came out today, version 1.12. So, you know, once all of these interviews are done, that's what I'm jumping on, man. My first, this is going to be the first video game I play in Atlanta, actually.
See, I'm not, you got to hip me because I'm not hip. I'm waiting on Cyberpunk, okay? That's what I'm holding out for.
Wait, so you haven't played Ghost of Tsushima yet?
Never played Ghost of Tsushima. I'm not hip.
You are bugging. have you played Ghost of Tsushima, man?
No, man. And make it so bad, a lot of cats in my department play it. But I just haven't had the time, man.
Are y'all kidding? Yeah, y'all gotta be joking. Yeah, yeah.
I've been on Call of Duty, man. I just downloaded the Cold War beta.
You talking about Call of Duty, Apex? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I see what this is. You guys are online players. Y'all not single mode player people.
Well, so I'm not playing campaign. No, for me, I am. I jump on there because that's where the family is. That's where my homies are. They want to play Apex. You know what I'm saying? They want to get in Warzone or whatever. Honestly, some of my favorite games, Watch Dogs, I'll jump on Watch Dogs 2.
Spider-Man was fire.
I'm waiting for Cyberpunk. I'm waiting for Cyberpunk 2077. That's what I'm holding out for, really. So I'm not nearly as active right now. But when Cyberpunk comes out,
For this year, there were only three games that I was looking forward to this year. Ghosts was one of them.
Okay.
Which was phenomenal. Unbelievable. Unbelievable game. Love it to death.
Mm-hmm.
Last of Us 2. I loved it. People don't and didn't like it. I loved it. I thought it was a great game. And Avengers. I did not buy it because the bad reviews.
Yeah.
So I kind of stayed away from that.
Yeah.
I'm not a first person guy, so I'm not excited about Cyberpunk.
Okay.
I'm a third person kind of player.
Okay.
So I can't get too deep into Cyberpunk as much as I would like to.
Okay.
I still don't even know what the premise is. But what I will say is Ghost of Tsushima, as of right now, is the game of the year to me.
Oh, wow. Easily. Well, I mean, I got 300 gigs of space, so I might as well go ahead and download it this evening. See what we talking about then. I got to see this.
that game is incredible, bro. Incredible.
Wow. Like, unbelievable. I might have to check that out. You do any VR gaming or anything like that?
No, I haven't gotten into the VR space. I want to, though. I heard the Iron Man game is really dope. And I know that PSVR, probably on the 5, is going to be a little bit better.
Better, right.
So when my family comes down, hey, I might have it. You know, we could do some family things with the gaming system. But no, nah, I haven't gotten into the VR stuff yet.
So yeah. I played and I don't know if it's the exact same Iron Man game, but there is an Iron Man VR experience at the Avengers Complex in Vegas, and I went through that. Man, it tired me out, to be honest with you.
Now, were you in the suit or was it just a VR headset?
In the suit.
Really?
So it's almost like an arcade. So there's the VR, but you're standing in the suit, you're holding, you got arms, and it works off a lot off of your eye movement and hand movements. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was tough. It was a workout.
Did the suit move from vertical to horizontal?
No. The suit didn't move. It's mostly you're standing up, but you are inside of it though. Yeah, it was just your head and yeah, it was interesting. It was at Treasure Island. That's where they have it. I don't know if it. I went. This was a year ago. I went. So, yeah, it was.
Wow, that sounds incredible.
It was a workout.
That's crazy.
Okay. What systems are you guys looking to get? PS5 or Xbox?
I'm always going to be a PlayStation guy. Always. Okay. I have always been, you know what I'm saying? So I will eventually be an owner of a PS5. I don't know if I'm going to get it for Christmas, but I will have it at the least by mid-year 2021.
I don't believe in the first wave of anything. Just like, you know, them iPhones coming out this weekend.
So let me ask, what is the official second wave of a gaming system?
That's a good question. That's a good question. For me, okay, if we talk about second waves, you have your early adopters. That's the people that are going to, they're going to get it day one regardless. For me, a good 6 months after that, you should have had a few software updates, work out whatever kinks and glitches.
Yep.
That's me.
That's my way, though. Typically about a second or third update after they've worked out the bugs, and they don't really get any information on the bugs unless the user sends it to them. So, you know, if you got it first wave, now it's like, you know, your stuff is freezing or you having different glitches and bugs. Now you got to send that information to Sony or whoever for them to compile that data and then come up with a fix for it. And that's what I just don't want to do that first off.
Yeah.
I mean, I also haven't seen, I only like the Miles game so far. Spider-Man
that's
game.
To say, yeah. That's, I think that's what they're banking on.
Yeah. They're banking on that. So I'm, you know, it's not enough for me to purchase outright right now though. So,
right.
You know, I'm going to probably wait until God of War drops.
Okay, great.
God of War, you know, the Miles joint. I'm hoping, but I doubt it. Spider-Man comes out next year, God willing.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I really don't know what else PS5 has to offer. Oh, Ratchet and Clank. I'm a very big Ratchet and Clank fan. So I'm a cop Ratchet. I'm a cop God of War. Whenever God of War drops, that's probably when I'm going to get PS5. Yeah. Then I'm going to get the Miles Morales. Those are the three games that I saw that I really thought was dope. I'm not really a 2K guy because of the microtransactions. So the grind to build up a player, like I just do 2K15. That was the last one that they did.
Wow. Okay.
So I just continue to grind on 2K15. You know, you feel more accomplished. Like it just, I don't know what they're doing. So I haven't played a 2K game since then. I really don't know what else is coming out. You know, from them, I would like another Rocksteady game, maybe a Max Payne.
Oh, Max Payne.
I wouldn't be mad at a Bully. I wouldn't be mad at a L.A. Noir 2. L.A. Noir was dope. I wouldn't be mad at the new Batman games are coming out. I forgot about those.
Batman's was always fire. Arkham Asylum.
Look at his face. Look at his face. You don't know about
Arkham. I am, and I've heard people talk about Arkham Asylum. People love the Batman games. DC has let me down my entire life.
Come on, man. Don't beat up DC today.
Listen. Look, that somebody told me, nah, bro, you in battle rap, you should watch the new Justice League because Avo helped them. Sorry. I'm not going to watch the new Justice League movie. I have not been ever interested in any Batman game. I'm Marvel gang all day long. Nick, you see it? Come on. You see it?
I respect it, but let me ask you this. So you have not played Arkham Asylum?
I never played Arkham Asylum.
What about Arkham City, no Arkham Origins, no Arkham Knight?
Gang.
Wait a second.
That's like asking Geechee. That's like asking Geechee to switch flags.
Why not?
That's how diehard I am for Marvel. Okay.
I'm not mad at that. I'm a Marvel head too.
Yeah.
But I have to give them props for Batman, the Batman series. The Batman series is definitely fire. I have all four games. Sometimes I'll pick one and I'll just play one just to do it. So yeah. I'm not mad at you for not playing it, but I'm just going to side-eye you. Like, that's really weird. You know what I'm saying? They got the Suicide Squad coming out next, I think 2022. So
not happy.
And, you know, and then the Arkham Legends.
When we talk about their cinematic universe, I've given them chance after chance.
Yeah, you shouldn't have did that.
Huh?
I said you shouldn't have did that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, if the
you gave the cinematic universe a chance, but not the gaming universe a chance.
Listen,
that is bogus.
Your reputation follows you. How am I supposed to believe you can make a well-rounded, interesting game for me to enjoy if you can't make a good movie?
No. This is the worst. This is absolutely the worst reason to not play the game. That is horrible. That is horrible. Horrible. First of all, if I'm not mistaken, Superman came out in 2015?
Which one? Man of Steel?
Man of Steel was what, 2013? 2014?
Somewhere around the, yeah.
Bruh, Asylum was 2009. And to your point, the Dark Knight series was fire. So if the Dark Knight series was fire, and if you're saying they can't make it, they can't do the cinematic universe, but the Dark Knight series was 05 to 09. And then right when Dark Knight Rises came out, Arkham Asylum came out. So that is a bad excuse, my brother. I'm sorry.
You might have got me on that one. I did not enjoy Batman Begins. I did enjoy the Dark Knight.
I can see why. I'm not mad at them, Mario.
Yeah.
But you did enjoy Dark Knight and you did enjoy Dark Knight Rises.
Absolutely.
Okay. So then there should have been no reason why you didn't play Arkham Asylum.
I wasn't mad at that bat. I mean, Liam Neeson as Ra's al Ghul was trash, but other than that, it was a decent flick.
The cat they had playing Ra's al Ghul in the Green Lantern series was better than Liam Neeson.
They shouldn't have whitewashed Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
That's what it all boils down to. They shouldn't have whitewashed Ra's al Ghul. And with that being said, you know, I gotta side eye you, bro. I respect it and I rock with you.
I appreciate that.
You know your gaming, you know your Marvel stuff, you probably even know your DC stuff. But to not experience those four games is crazy to me. Like, okay. crazy.
The Batman games was fire. Batman games is dope.
I'll stand on it.
Wow.
I'll stand on it.
DC movies are trash, but Batman video games are awesome. I love the Batman video.
I agree with him on that. Uncharted. Do we want to see another Uncharted game?
I wouldn't mind Uncharted.
Have you guys played? Oh, he's saying
okay. All right, man.
You know what? So the reason I feel that way is part of sibling rivalry. My older brother loves Uncharted. But he's bad at other games. So it's like, oh, of course you love the one you're good at. Like, okay, whatever.
I thought you were going to say Tomb Raider. I thought you were going to be like, you know, because Tomb Raider and Uncharted is basically the same game.
They are different characters, but essentially, it's all treasure hunting. Yeah,
essentially the same game. Right.
Same jungle drama.
Jungle drama. I like that. Jungle drama. So have you guys played Last of Us 2?
I didn't play Last of Us 2. No, I haven't played Last of Us.
Wow, what is going
on? I watched my nephew play it, so I didn't get behind the controls, but that game looks intense.
It's very intense. Loved it. It's like a movie.
Yeah.
It's like a movie.
Mm.
Cinematic writing. Same thing with Ghosts. You guys got to get on Ghosts, man. I mean, I'm a very big Ninja Gaiden fan. Hope that Ninja Gaiden... Or Gaiden, pardon me. I hope he returns to the systems in this new generation. So, you know, getting on Ghost of Tsushima was like, oh, this is like a real samurai game. I would have liked another weapon, you know, like a nunchuck, but I guess the Japanese don't use that, or a bow staff would have been nice. But the sword play, incredible. Storyline, incredible. It's one of the last great games on PS4. Cinematically beautiful visuals. It's you know, it's just great game, man. Great game. I implore you guys to check that out, man.
Sure. I will, because you said that. Now, especially you know, talking about Ninja Gaiden, that definitely was one of my favorite games growing up. And then when they re-released it again for PS3, that was one of the first things that I got. So yes, if Ghost of Tsushima is if it's one of those, I'm jumping
on it. It's a little slower than Ninja Gaiden. I want to preface it with that, like, because Ninja Gaiden is fast-paced action from start to finish. Like, that is like, if you want an action game, Ninja Gaiden is hack and slash. Speaking of hack and slash and just beat 'em ups, Streets of Rage 4. Did you guys play that?
Wow, not Streets of Rage. I did not play Streets of Rage 4. Wow.
Are you guys kidding me right now?
My time, I've been so busy, man. But man.
Well, no, listen. So I mean, I jumped on the, like, when Mortal Kombat 11 came out, I jumped on it. I didn't jump back to I will search for Streets of Rage 4. I will search for that.
That's you guys are disappointing me. I thought this was the cool nerds pod. I thought that's what this was. You guys are disappointing me, man. Oh, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm still nice and Double Dragon.
This guy. Listen, man. You know, we are 30-plus-year-old black brothers, black men who are into gaming, nerd culture.
Yes.
You know, these games that I'm naming, in terms of our nostalgia and just what we enjoy.
Big fact.
Like, I'm really shocked, man. Like, I know you guys play Spider-Man. You know, Spider-Man was game of the year to me. Well, God of War and Spider-Man. God of War was basically Thor.
Yeah.
You know, that was basically a Thor game.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm shocked. You know, I'm shocked you guys haven't played these games. Streets of Rage. I grew up on Streets of Rage, man. And four might be the best Streets of Rage ever.
See, listen, I grew up on Streets of Rage too. Come on, I had the Sega Genesis, the 16-bit
joint. Man, listen,
like, come on, man.
Four might be the best. Now I'm gonna have to go looking for it.
Listen. Two is my all-time favorite beat 'em up game. But four, if two is like a 10, four is like 9.5, 9.6.
What?
It's like 9.5, 9.6. And the only reason why I'm not going to give it a 10, and I did say it was better than two, but it's really not. The reason why it's not better than two is because Max is not in it and Skate is not in it.
But oh, come on. Go ahead.
Okay, wait, let me finish. Max and Skate is not in the game. But Max is, I don't want to ruin it for y'all. So Max is in the game, but he's not playable. But I think they're going to patch Max in. I think they're going to patch Shiva in. I think they're going to patch Skate in. And Adam comes back. Adam is insanity in the game. Like, I'm shocked. Adam is unbelievable in the game.
Yeah. I'm on it.
Yeah, I'm on it. It's cool nerd, but we're not all knowing nerd. So I mean,
we know about Streets of Rage. I haven't played it. I got, you know what I'm saying, but you know.
Okay, so y'all need to do Ghost of Tsushima. Y'all need to do Streets of Rage 4. Those are the two games, because he ain't gonna play Batman, but y'all can do those two games. I need y'all to do that.
Facts.
Tell me about this, Mickey, because we running low on time here.
We are.
We try to talk about music, battle rap culture, we talk about technology. Also, we talk about sneakers. Tell me about the Y3.
Oh man, I'm a Yoji Y3 fanatic, man. Yoji, man, I'm a Y3 fanatic. I love Y3, man. That's Adidas. It's a higher level of Adidas. It's created by Yoji Yamamoto from Japan. And if anybody who's into streetwear, they know that the Japanese, they're always ahead of the time in of fashion. They're always fashion forward. And Yoji Yamamoto, they make exclusive pieces. So anytime they put something out, it's like art. So it comes out. Right. And if you don't get it, you'll never get it again unless you go on eBay or one of these clothing selling apps. So the fact that they don't get bootleg, the fact that people, when they see them, they don't know what it is, then they think it's Yeezy. To me, that defines who I am as an artist. So that's why I gravitate towards Y3. That's the only pair of sneakers I actually own. I'm lying. I got one pair of Converse in my closet. But everything else is Y3. The whole closet is
Y3. I literally thought you had like a contract with them or something. Like, I was like,
we're going to get cut. Look, we can talk all night, but we're going to end up getting cut off. And Mickey got to go. I got to get this out. Mickey, I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Time, bro. Cool Nerd Podcast. Yeah, man. Nothing else. This was epic.
Come back and listen to my daddy's podcast.